The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation, Mike Campion here with the lovely, the amazing Tracy Thompson. She is, aside from one of my favorite human beings walking the planet. Oh, crap. I said that out loud. She's going to get a big head. All right, fine. You know it. Natalie and I love you. You're the best. Don't tell anyone. pretend you don't know. The reason I think so highly of her is, man, do our clients love the transformations they get by talking with Tracy and Suzanne. Because they come in, I get the easy job, right? Everyone's like, how do I get systems and hire and get customers? And I'm really good at that stuff. The problem is we tell them what to do and they don't do it. And they don't know why. Tracy knows why. Suzanne knows why. So it has a lot to do with beliefs. For those of you that can see, Tracy's pointing to her head. It is completely mindset, right? So
yeah.
If it was just about what to do, I've got two books out there. Go buy them. They're $20. You could read the books. Just do that and you'll be good to go. Unfortunately, it's a lot of how you believe and how you look at your business and how you relate and all that sort of stuff. So we kind of want to talk about that today. Specifically, Tracy came to me and said, I am seeing our business owners make poor investment, both of time and money, because they're confused about what a high return investment looks like versus a low return investment. And they don't know which is which. So they continue making low return investments, both with time and money. And there's no time or money left over for high return investments. So they completely butcher that. Or are we tracking?
No, that's absolutely right. And so it kind of falls under what most people bring to me is, well, I don't know how to prioritize. And so that's how they put it. But we know it's how they're investing their time and their money. So I guess it, for all of you out in Clean Nation who are going, I don't know how to prioritize my, I'm so busy. I don't know where to spend my money. And so they end up in this cycle of non or low value tasks and low value investments of their time and money. Yes.
So let me give you the worst part of that. Maybe you can talk through how people can avoid it. The worst part is they typically don't even know it. They think, Mike, if you just told me if I should use Facebook or Google or quote unquote, how to hire or how to price. If I just had that, frankly, semi-low value, there's high value components to it, but then everything would be great, right? So they think if they just had one little thing fixed, it'd be great. And it's frustrating for us kind of going, A, it's an entire system because they're all integrated, right? If you knew how to work Facebook, but you don't know who your client was, what your goals are, how much to charge, what their pain is, what to communicate, Facebook's useless. So the first part is they don't even know the questions to ask. And then second part is they overvalue one thing. And if I just got that, then I could go on. Like if I just knew how to bid, then I could solve everything and build my $1 million business. And when I say it, they're like, wait, that's ridiculous. But they do come to me that way. How does that show up for you in your world?
Yeah, in my world, since I work with our clients that are inside the program, generally speaking, like they've taken those initial steps, but then they get bogged down. They get, okay, so here it is. They actually get the answers to what they first come to us with, what you were just referring to. Oh, if I could just figure out how to hire, and then everything would be fine. And so now they have how to hire. And they're starting to do that. And then they go, oh, shoot, I'm still not clear on my highest and best return on investment of my time, because they've gotten out of cleaning, for example, or they started hiring, but now they find themselves still in that spin cycle of trying to figure out what's the next best, highest use of their time. So that's how it shows up for clients that are still working their way through building the systems, but prioritizing their time. Yes.
So let's walk that through, because there's kind of two distinct camps that people fall into. One is, I don't know how to prioritize cleaning. Well, this guy called and I can make $200 in 4 hours if I just go clean this thing. prioritizing that as high money. Cause it's, again, when you're hand to mouth, like, man, that guy's waving a nickel at me. I gotta jump and grab it. And that's really hard to change to. I'm building a business and I'm, mm-hmm. you know, going to clean for a couple $100 while missing an important conversation working on your business is like eating the seeds. Like, yes, you can eat the seeds and you will be full today. But what about tomorrow? Whereas if you plant the seeds, you might be hungry today, but you can eat forever. So that's right. Where it starts. And then here's one of the tricky things. People finally get out of cleaning and they're like, good. Now I can waste 40 hours a week working in my business at the office as opposed to cleaning toilets, which I think is a step up, but it's almost never what their initial goals are. So let's walk through the first one. Assuming, again, because Tracy works with the people in our program, assuming people had the systems and process, and I know you're like, I want the systems and processes, get this mindset crap out of here. We've done 100 podcasts on that. So growmycleaningcompany.com, there's a dozen podcasts on the system. So let's assume we magically give them the system, not magically, but they're in our program like they are. We give them all the systems. What hiccups do they run into in getting out of cleaning that, assuming you had all the systems, and how can we give that to Cleaning Nation?
So one of the biggest pitfalls that I see is, now you're right, they've stopped cleaning. Now they're in the office, or they're at least out of.
Well, before we even get to that, let's say they're still cleaning. So I've given them what to do.
Okay.
But they still don't know who to be and they're still cleaning. So, cause we have those too, right? Where it's like, I think, you know, I don't even know if they come to you still going, well, my hiring ad doesn't work, or Indeed rep's no good, or if they kind of get it something different. So we'll get to the out of cleaning next, but for now, the folks that have all the what to do, but not still are working on the who to be, how does that show up and how can you kind of coach in the time that we have Cleaning Nation on how to deal with that?
Okay. So let's say they know what to do to get out of cleaning, but they're still cleaning. We still have a couple that are still moving that mindset over. So they still show up. They want to know. Here's what it is. They get caught up in all the planning and the research and, well, but I need to be sure that I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing for advertising. And is it Facebook or is it Google or is it what you said earlier, right? And then they get stuck in that spin cycle of planning and preparing and researching and trying to figure out every possible So what that is, it's fear, right? It's just fear of taking that next step, because what's comfortable is cleaning. That's something they know. And so they cling to, and it's unconscious, because they come to me and they're frustrated and I need more clients. I need to grow. I know I need to get out of cleaning. They know what to do, but they're really struggling to get out of that fear zone and take that leap.
So let me make a distinction, because there's two ways to go about this. One is really a problem when you have both the fear to get out of cleaning and you lack the systems and processes. Then you're really stuck, because what'll happen is you'll try something. I put an ad out. I got 73 resumes. I went through the first 17 of my own. It was brutal. They all sucked. I called 8 people to get 3 interviews scheduled, and no one should just, it's a miserable process. So the process and system we use isn't working. Mm-hmm. So that reinforces our belief of, see, I should have never got out of my lane. Just clean, clean, clean. I'm comfortable cleaning, clean, clean, clean. So I think oftentimes people come to us almost as abused dogs, or, you know, people that have been beaten by business. And once they do now have the systems, they don't recognize the massive difference of, I have a proven plan that works, I'm going to follow it, versus I've just been banging around in the dark and getting my head handed to me. So first you got to make sure you do have that system. I don't want to be like, if you just have a good mindset and no tactics, you're going to be screwed.
Right.
And I think most people get that. But what they don't get is, if you've got great tactics, but you're not willing to change your mindset, equally screwed. Like, it's not like, oh, that's better, that's a step forward. Nope. It's, you know, like, I'm sure you've all heard the thing about the little baby elephants. They put the shackle on and they put it in the ground so he can't move. Right. And when he's big, they don't even put the stake in the ground anymore, because he's too big. He can pull it out. He just feels
they don't even shackle. Try.
Like, I can't, they don't even try. Right. So again, at the beginning, that little elephant doesn't have the systems because he's not big enough. So he gets the beliefs. And then when he does get big enough to make some change, his beliefs still kill him. So I want to be clear, mindset alone won't get this done. tactics alone won't get this done. So don't fool yourself going, oh, I'm just going to have a positive, powerful mindset and that'll be enough. It shall not. If I could just read a book or watch YouTube for 1,000 hours, but not really change who I am or how I relate, that'll be enough. No, it shall not. Overstating, understating, what's been your experience with that, Tracy?
Oh, we absolutely. Here's the truth. If knowledge, if knowing something were enough, we'd all have six-pack abs.
There'd be no fat
people on the planet, right? We'd all be billionaires. So clearly preparing. I heard someone say this recently and I was like, yes, that's it. Really planning, researching, and more knowledge is code for procrastination.
Because that's a writer down.
That's a writer downer. Preparing, planning, researching, continuing to work out all the details before you've even started is really code for, a euphemism for, procrastination.
Let me make one addition. 90% of it is code and a
euphemism. Sure. I mean,
you still do need to have to know a plan. Right. But we can but be people YouTube don't take zombies action. Where we spend 123 hours watching videos and we're right. more confused at the end when we were at the beginning. That is 1,000% procrastination. So really seeking out a proven system that actually works from someone that can show you. And we're one of those just for everyone's like, oh, you're selling me crap. It doesn't have to be my system. Like a real coach or someone that actually knows how to do it and has gotten results for other people, seeking that out. And then getting that should take a little bit, right? Let's spend 10% of our time. So yeah, let's make it like that. It's not like we should have none of that because that's called insanity. Just like I'm going to bull ahead with no information. But I think we go 90% of our time on that and 10% on doing anything. We need to reverse that to 10% on that. We got to make sure we're climbing the right ladder before we start climbing. But once we know the ladder's up against the right wall, let's get to climbing, right? So it's not that it should be 100-0, but it should be 90-10.
So here, I have a formula for that.
Let's talk to us.
I have a formula. I call this the millionaire mindset approach. So it goes like this, and it's very deceptively simple. Learn, act. Learn, action. Take action. You cannot continue. Well, let me think about that. Well, let me, you know, mull that over. Well, I'm working on it, which is it
means nothing,
right? Which means nothing. So as soon as you have something to work on, so some epiphany, some system that, or a coach or whatever it is, take action. The longer you stay in knowledge without action, that actually starts to work like cancer. It eats away at your confidence, which eats away at your competence. And that loop has no, you don't have a momentum going. So what I find—
Well, it goes both ways. If you're incompetent, you lose confidence, which makes you more incompetent. It also works the other way. When you become competent and you move on that, that will add confidence, which it's not always bad. It's definitely a loop. One adds to the other and one takes from the other.
Exactly. So, but what we find is inside— Once someone decides to come inside the program, they need to continue that flywheel momentum of taking action. If they get stuck again, or they, you know, get back into, well, I'm preparing, I'm getting ready to get ready. That's the death cycle. And we make sure that people don't stay in there very long. It's like, don't stay up in your head. So Kling Nation, if you've been in one or both sides of those that pattern of, well, I'm massive action. I'm was it, ignorance on fire.
Yeah, I like that.
you probably need a little strategy, maybe a lot of strategy. But if you're on the other side where you've learned and you've gotten advice, you've watched videos, you've listened to 156 of Mike's podcasts, but you still haven't taken action, now is the time to act. You got to get out of that loop.
My least favorite thing is people are like, I've listened to every podcast. I'm like, where's your business? Oh, I still need help with this or that. I'm like, we talked about that. It's not the listening, it's the doing. And believe it or not, if I had to pick one, I'll take ignorance on fire. So that has been my strategy for the last 25 years. And I got to where I am, a massive success. Just cost me decades of time and hundreds of thousands of dollars of money and a bunch of gray hair. You can't see, but it's there that we didn't need to have. So believe it or not, just like you kind of need mindset and systems, mm-hmm. both, they're non-negotiable. When it comes to action or a strategy, you still need both, but you had to pick one. It's going to be action, right? You can't steer a parked car. Like, at least if you go the wrong direction, at some point you're going to hit a wall and get some sort of feedback that you can try something different. If you sit still, you'll never get anywhere. Okay. So let's close this loop where we started. We talked about the deficit in people knowing how to invest their time and their money and investing it in places with a poor return. Examples, cleaning, office work, futzing around in the office with answering phone calls and dealing with emails and scheduling your cleaners and talking to people and just like nonsense. How do people identify the best opportunities to, because we all have, by the way, if you're like, I don't have any time, I don't have any money, well, then you go get a job. Those are your only options. This shall take time and ideally time and money. If you're like, I only have time, no money, you can use your time to get some money. If you only have money and a little bit of time, you can use your money to buy other people's time, but you're going to need to have to invest heavily in one, probably both. So the big question, how do we identify where we should be investing both of those? And more importantly, where we shouldn't.
Well, I have a
27-hour question. If you could wrap it up in about 3 minutes, that'd be great.
Here, okay, I'm going to leave Clean Nation with this exercise. This is what I teach our clients all the time. If you've never done this, this is really eye-opening. Sit down with two pieces of paper, a notebook on one side, write down all the things that you do, like all the stuff you do all day. Like if you clean, write that down, all the activities. And then on the other page, put each one in order of the amount of money that you would pay somebody else to do it. And you start realizing how much of your time is spent in low value, meaning if you wouldn't pay someone more than $10 an hour, that's what it's worth.
Even just frankly, because you're the owner. $20 an hour. Yeah. If you,
right.
I'm so glad that you said that. I'll give you the example I've given. You'll either get Tracy's same point, different ways of putting it. You'll either get Tracy, you'll get mine. I don't do one-on-one on-site training, but if I did, it'd be tens of thousands of dollars. So say you flew me out there and it was 50 grand or whatever for however long I was going to stay. And we got there and you're like, oh crap, somebody called and we got to get to cleaning. Let's go. My check is cleared. I have no shame. I'll clean a toilet. I'll strip a floor. I'll do whatever my body can do. And at the end of the day, you might go, well, that
wasn't worth it.
I got a little screwed there. Yeah. I think I overpaid. I'll go, I do a good job waxing the floor or clean those toilets? Yeah, you did a great job, but it wasn't worth the money. I'm aware. I would have maybe put me to better. Perfect. Like my wife has a friend that was starting a company and she knew what I do. And she was, I don't even want to get into it, but she was filming an ill-fated commercial that was never going to help her because there's a whole lot of reasons. And what she asked for me was, as a friend, hey, Mike, would you mind Natalie and you being massage dummies, where we would sit in the background of this commercial they're shooting. They hired professional massage people to come in and massage Natalie and I laying face down. So that was the use that she thought was best use of my time. And as much as I enjoyed laying there getting massaged periodically for 38 minutes or however long that was, arguably she might've been able to get a little more use of that 38 minutes of my time, but that use was worth virtually zero, but because that's what she chose. So no matter who's doing it, if you have them doing $10, $20 an hour work, like Tracy's saying, you cannot get, or if you're doing $10 or $20 an hour work. And the reason I use me is I think people see me, oh, that would be ridiculous. Well, if it's ridiculous for me to come into your company and do a $20 an hour task, you're the freaking owner. You're the one person, you're way more important to your company than I am. Why would you do a $20 an hour task?
Yes.
All right. So that's a great way to identify what not to do. How do we identify what to do? And we'll wrap with that.
So I ask this question. This is what I call the $1 million question. What's the
Tracy's got a lot of millions in her life. $1 million mindset, $1 million. Why fool around with who's interested in the $1,000 question? Not me. So.
The low budge question is
the sack of pennies question is what's for lunch?
So the big question, the biggest question I ask, and most people get this wrong. This is interesting. So I'm going to ask this of Clean Nation, and then we're going to tell them the actual answer. What do you suppose the top most highest paid, if you were to pay someone else for this position, what's the highest paid activity or job you could be doing in your company, or somebody could be doing in your company? What brings the most value to your business?
All right. So everybody hit pause, take 2 minutes and write this crap down. See how you do. I have thoughts on this, Tracy. Do you want to give, you want to answer first and then give my thoughts, or do you want me to give my thoughts first? Or do you just want me to shut up and let you have your own party?
Either way is fine. Do you want to take a guess of what most people say? What most cleaners say? Cleaning companies?
So funny. I really know cleaners in this one. What's the most thing they should be doing? I don't know. What do they say? It's a really good question.
They usually say something around hiring. That's hiring somebody. Like, well, okay, we're getting warmer.
The top half, sure.
Yeah. At least that's better than cleaning. They usually say organizing or doing things in the office, scheduling. That's another big one that they're like, okay, scheduling, making sure that the clients are taken care of. And I'm like, well.
And by the way, that's all like bottom third. So it's with hiring, I'm like, I need more details. Like, what exactly do you mean by hiring? But scheduling, quote unquote, taking care of the office, quote unquote, making sure people are happy. That's all BS. Like, hey, Tracy, it's Mike, your cleaner, house things. Good. Okay. Bottom 20% kids.
Putting out fires. Yeah, putting out fires.
Ugh. Yeah. All right. So what's the good stuff?
So the good stuff is, and I tell them they go hand in hand, but if you were to pay somebody else to do this job, it's always going to be sales, bringing sales.
By the way, just examples we gave, making sure the clients are okay, whatever that means. Hey, Tracy, how's things going? $10 an hour. Scheduling, $10. And I say 10, it could be 20, it could be 5, depending if you're hiring in the Philippines or San Francisco, but low wage. All that stuff, sales, high wage. Well, it depends. Bad salesperson, low wage, just like everyone else. Good salesperson.
Effective salesperson
that really serves and helps and makes a difference in your world and your client's world. Highest paid job in the world.
It is. And most people don't realize that. If you were in corporate, in a big corporation, believe it or not, salespeople sometimes make more than the CEO.
I've run small business, or, you know, not large, you know, Fortune 100, but anyway, my sub $100 million businesses, oftentimes salespeople make in a month. Now, keep in mind, in a month is compensation more than me, but obviously when the business gets sold, we get to keep all that. And salespeople don't. So, and don't get upset about that. That's a good thing. As long as your numbers are set up right. I'm love when my salespeople make more than I do in any given month. So the only thing I'll add to that, and I love sales, and people don't get it because they're like, oh, I have a website and people just sign up there. I won't even get into that. We've talked about that on other podcasts, but let's just go worst case residential, like commercial. Obviously the numbers just yet a zero onto it, but residential average client, $300 a month, depending on what part of the world you're in.
$3,600 a year.
Yeah. I was just going to get to that. Average lifespan of a client can be 5-10 years, but let's call it 2 years, 2 or 3 years, 3 years. That's 10 grand. If you go on 10 appointments and sell 7 or 8 of them, that's $70,000 or $80,000 in 10 or 20 hours of work. So if you just do the hourly math of what it's worth, it's a little bit different. So I love sales. And that's residential, by the way. You start doing commercial, holy heck. And if you're like, well, I don't sell 80%, it's because you're not good at sales. We talked about being effective at sales. It's very different than saying you're a salesperson.
Right.
The only thing I would add to that is creating systems. Mm-hmm. So believe it or not, sales is still a job. It is still something, not really. You have to keep doing it. It's just the highest paid job within your business. So it's not ownership work yet. It's still a job. Yes. But compared to cleaning, oh my gosh, you make more money than that. Compared to scheduling or futzing around with all the other stuff you do, the pay is way higher.
Right.
But you stop selling, you stop getting paid. It's a beautiful thing about the cleaning business as an owner. we can sell once and get paid indefinitely as long as we're selling the right contracts, not move in, move outs, construction, cleanup, all that sort of stuff. But it's still a job. So the stuff that I would put on par, even above sales. So sales is kind of the top end of the employee jobs. And now we'll talk about the owner jobs, which you need to be doing as well, would be creating systems and processes. I created a system to hire a salesperson and a compensation program and a training program for that salesperson. And now my business gets $1 million a year in sales from that guy. I don't deal with it. That's a system. Two would be personal development, investing in yourself. So any sale you get at some point will leave. That's okay. They do that. Any salesperson you train will at some point leave. That's okay. They do that too. But any investment you make in yourself, you have till you die. So investing yourself first and then your people second. Those would be the kind of ownership things I would put at the top, investing yourself in your people and creating systems, which you do once and then you get to leave. They give you freedom. If you're going to work in your business, by far the best way to work in your business would be sales, because at least you're going to get paid and compensated well for that as opposed to cleaning. All right. Questions, comments, rude remarks, Ms. Tracy?
Nope. That is absolutely. And that goes right hand in hand with creating systems that are duplicatable along with your culture, your company culture, core values. Managing that. Those are the top two, but absolutely most people get confused and then end up bogged down in all the $10 an hour jobs. So,
and by the way, I can't believe I forgot culture. Setting the culture is also ownership work. I'm constantly banging that drum how I forgot it. To remind me, couldn't tell you. So for those of you that are like, wow, this all sounds really good, but I'm confused as to how to all put it together. This is some very good general information. But again, the last thing I want, just like we talk about 1,000 hours of YouTube, and some of you are watching this on YouTube, and hopefully you're not more confused at the end of this than you were. Hopefully you're like, oh, I'm cleared, but I don't know what to do next. So if that is you, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. There is a completely complimentary on-demand training. It's 40 minutes. It's the 5 shifts that you need to make, and it will clearly tell you exactly what you need to do, what the next steps are. It's completely free. growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out there. And once you've done that, there's a bunch of podcasts and a Facebook group and all sorts of other stuff. But I would start with the on-demand training. Check it out now. growmycleaningcompany.com. See you there. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing, share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. That's 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.